Okay, Kirk, all yours.
Hello and welcome to the Beacon Group's Noon Step Meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Kirk and I am an alcoholic. In an effort to lessen distractions to others and to respect our speakers, you will not be able to unmute yourself during the meeting. Let's start this meeting with a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things that cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. AA Preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy. Neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. This is an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and all are welcome to attend. We ask that only alcoholics participate. If you are new to AA or new to the Beacon Group, we strongly recommend home group membership and sponsorship. If you are new or not so new and looking for a sponsor, please put your name and number in the chat. If you have worked all 12 steps as outlined in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, have had a spiritual experience and are willing to sponsor, please also put your name and number in the chat. The chat will remain open during the meeting except while the speaker is sharing. Also in the chat, you will find our AA quote of the day. The quote source will always be from AA literature. Our speaker will share for 30 minutes on the step of the day, which I will time. Then we split into breakout rooms for small group discussions. Each group has a moderator who will divide the time equally and invite each person to share. Questions are encouraged during the sharing part of the meeting. When you share, please be sure your environment is quiet and free of distractions. Breakout room discussions end at 12:54, followed by day counts, announcements, and the Lord's Prayer. I have asked Nicole to read the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Thank you, Nicole, an alcoholic. Here are the steps we took which suggested the program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrongly prompted, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Nicole. Today we'll hear a talk on step 12 from, please give a warm welcome to Marie T. from Fort Myers, Florida.
Oh, hi, Boston. Thank you. Thank you. My name is Marie and I am an alcoholic. I do have a sponsor And she sponsors and I sponsor women. And some of my women are here today. And some of my close friends from Cape Coral are here. So I'm really grateful to be here. My sobriety date is December 11th, 1994. What was so funny about that date is I was probably maybe 3 months sober, maybe, not knowing anything really about Alcoholics Anonymous. And this woman walked up to me and she goes, "Do you know that that's Bill Wilson's sobriety date? Did you do that on purpose?" Oh my God. No, I didn't do anything on purpose. I just woke up that day and came in. You know, you want me to talk about step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, right? I don't know how I can do that without letting you know how I got woken up, you know? So I'm going to quickly go through that. I don't know how much time I have that will help me. How much time do I have, Kirk?
30 minutes.
Thank you. I'll put my timer on then. Thank you. You know, I walked in here, and if I do the steps backwards, spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, I had no idea I was asleep. No idea I was walking this life asleep. We carried this message and tried to help other alcoholics. I didn't carry nothing but my own self-will, my own self. I didn't care about anybody else but myself, right? And so step 12 kind of opens up that door. And we practice these principles in all our affairs. Principles I used to practice was anything that would had to do with me. But I didn't know that. I didn't walk around and say, "I'm going to do this for me." I really thought that was the way you lived. You know, so when I came in Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, I had a drive-by run in 1986. You know, you guys are really nice, you know, but all I wanted my family to do was to shut up. That's all I wanted to do was just shut up. Got thrown in a treatment center, came back into Alcoholics Anonymous, came into Alcoholics Anonymous because that's what I was told to do. When I came in here, I thought I died and went to hell. And my whole thing was, I just want to get my kids back because I had walked out of my kids. Alcohol took away my kids. Alcohol took away my, took away all my self-esteem. Just, I lost cars. I got stopped by the cops. I went into blackouts. I don't know how I ended up on Route 9, New Jersey. I live in Florida. To this day, I have no idea how I got there. I was a blackout drinker. So, and God has restored me to my sanity. But what we're here to talk about is, you've asked me to talk about, is step 12. You know, so the first step is, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol. Dash, new thought, that our lives have become unmanageable. I didn't know what powerless meant. I had no problem telling you I was an alcoholic. I had no problem at all. I was a bartender. I knew what an alcoholic looked like, right? I knew, you know. And so that first step, when I came back in 1994, I was where I was so sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I had everything back. But you see, I forgot that very first step of the powerlessness, that when I take that first drink, I don't know what's going to happen. I want more. And when I'm not drinking it, I'm irritable, restless, and discontent. I really thought I just had an alcohol problem. If I had an alcohol problem, I wouldn't be here today. I suffer from alcoholism. I have a mental obsession. And that's where the unmanageability comes. The unmanageability wasn't the drunk stuff I did by jumping off a bridge, walking out on my kids, not paying my bills on time, stealing dogs out of people's backyard because I thought I could take care of them better. Oh boy, that was an amends. And you know, so I would, that's, the unmanageability was not about that. The unmanageability was, I thought when I drink, I can control it this time. I thought it would be different this time. Now, I didn't say that to myself. That wasn't something I spoke to myself. It was an experience I had to have. And when I laid down the experience of first step, I was powerless over alcohol. Now what I'm going to do? Powerless over alcohol. I'm managing a baseball team that's losing, just losing. So we have to get a new manager in here. And so in step two, it says, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Now, I believed in God. I had no problem with that. And I believed there was a power out there. But I didn't believe that he could restore me to my sanity. I didn't believe that. But I had to give myself to another higher power. And what I did is I gave myself to Alcoholics Anonymous. Even though I thought you were lame, even though I thought, oh my God, this is written by Bill and Bob in 1935. How can that relate to me? I had to put all that aside and start listening. And then in step three, I made a decision, one of the greatest decisions I've ever made in my life, one of the greatest decisions I've ever made. A decision doesn't mean anything until I take action. And I made a decision through my will, which is my thoughts and my life, over to the care of God, to the care of God. He doesn't want me. He's not going to do something for me that I can do myself. He's not going to do that. And in step four, I started to see what was blocking me from this power. You see, walked in this room. I was spiritually constipated. I've heard a speaker say that. I'm not sure who it was. But I had a severe case of spiritual constipation when I came in here. I was so blocked with self that I couldn't see you. And through that step four, I saw the resentments, the fears, the harm done, and the sex conduct. I saw what was blocking me from you. And what was the beautiful part is I saw on the paper, what wasn't me? That's not me. That's not me to walk out on my kids and blame my husband for it all. That's not who God made me to be, or this power. So I had to shift my thinking. And in step five, I was able to bring it to you and tell you the step five is, and I'm just having a blank right here. Don't know why. Step five is I tell someone else the exact nature of my wrongs, right? I tell them, God, myself, and another human being, the exact nature of my wrongs. What were the exact natures of my wrongs? Well, I stole, but why did I steal? Fear that I wasn't going to have enough. Why did I lie? Because I didn't want you to think different of me. Why did I pretend to be something I wasn't? Because I thought if I wasn't that person, you wouldn't like me. My thinking was so skewed. It was Clancy who says that we have a perception problem. I had a huge one. I had a huge perception problem. And by the time I got to sixth and seventh, I see these defects of characters. Now, I can't take care of them. God does. I just cooperate with the Spirit. That's all it is. And I don't even decide 100% what character defect I'm going to work on this day. Because you know what? Something else will show in, you know? And then by the time I got to the A step and I made a list of all the persons I had harmed. And I'm very grateful for good sponsorship, because in that A step, I learned that there was some things I needed to make an amends for, and some of I didn't. And some of the amends were very self-motivated, because I just wanted to get the monkey off my back called guilt. And the motive wasn't really to change. Amend means to change. It doesn't mean I'm sorry. And I was willing to make these amends. And in the ninth step, I went face to face. I'm face to face with you, face to face with my husband, face to face with my children. And in 1994, when I walked in this room, my son at that time was 18 years old, and he didn't speak to me for 7 years. That was one of the hardest 7 years I've done. But because of you, what Alcoholics Anonymous taught me was to just love him anyway. Sent him birthday cards, sent him Christmas gifts, whether he wanted them or not, I just did it. And then one day, me not even looking, he started talking to me again, and I was able to make a true amends. Today, he's sitting here with me now. He's moving to the Cayman Islands, and he's sitting here getting all packed up with his family to go. So then we come into the 10th step. Now, I believe 1 through 9 is I've cleared that constipation. It cleared the channel, step 1 through 9. Now what happens? I'm free, right? I start to, the 9th step promises start coming and all that stuff, but how do I hold on to them? The only way I hold on to this 9th step promises is to go into step 10. And step 10 says continue to take personal inventory, and when we're wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 10 keeps me in check. It's an everyday, it's a walking step. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. And I used to argue, I'm not a meditator. When I sit down, I think too much. Well, hello, Marie. The heart beats, the lungs breathe, and the mind thinks. Hello. So this thinking, and I had to let the thought go through. And in 1935, all meditation was guided thinking. Now, here's the thing about 10 and 11. If I am not practicing 10 and 11 on a daily basis, I'm going into step 12 with me. You don't want me in step 12 because it'll be all about me. And my ego will get in the way to be able to help you carry this message. And it'll get my ego will get in the way. And I won't be able to practice these principles in all my affairs. If I'm not practicing 10 and 11, 12 is mute. This has been my experience with step 12. 17 years of sobriety. I was sponsoring a bunch of women. And they were all driving me crazy. And I was ready to kill every one of them because they weren't doing what I said they should do. Y'all started looking really ugly in the rooms. My goodness, if he says that one more time, I'm going to go across the table. I'm going to smack him. Oh my God, do you know that she's cheating on her husband? I was so judgmental. I was shooting you wounded all over the place. And I didn't care. And when I finally got honest with my sponsor, because I could have picked up a drink, but I didn't. She said, where are you in step 10 and 11? I was doing 12, man. I was doing 12, but I wasn't practicing 10 and 11. And so when I get into 12, it says, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, what is that spiritual awakening for me? What does that mean for me? An awakening. It's not we're awakened and we're done for and we get and we move on. It is a daily, every daily surrender that I make through step 10 and 11. It intertwines. It intertwines for me. 10, 11, and 12 are all together, almost weaved as one. And that spiritual awakening is an everyday practice. We had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. We tried to carry this message to other alcoholics. Tried, if you look it up, it means reliable, trustworthy. Am I trying my best to carry this message to the other, to the alcoholic who still suffers? Or am I coming in with my ego to tell you how many women I sponsor and she's doing this wrong and I've got all this service work going on, but I'm not doing the work to keep me in check? And this has been my experience in step 12. I carry my ego if I'm not carrying the continuing and the seeking through 10 and 11. And then it says, practice these principles in all our affairs. Oh my gosh. That's a hard one sometimes because people piss me off. People don't do what I want them to do. People say things that they shouldn't say. People wear things they shouldn't wear. You know, I've got this judge meter that lives right here in my brain. You know, and I will judge you. And then when I'm doing that, you know, I smile and I'm real nice and, you know, really phony. But what I've learned is when I allow people to be who people are because they're people, and I look at you with God's eyes, which it was taught, which I learned through step 11, as I get closer to my creator, I get closer to you. And when I get closer to you, I get closer to my creator. And step 12 helps me with that. And step 12 helps me with that by staying in check with 10 and 11. You know, this spiritual constipation I had through 1 through 9, if I'm not continuing 10, 11, and 12, I will get constipated again. I will. And it's not pretty. It's really not. You know, and so I carry this message. And how do I carry this message? Oh, I do a lot of service. You know, the three triangles. You know, I'm in a lot of service. I work at the inner, I help out with the inner group here in Fort Myers, Florida. I go to my home group. I sponsor women. I'm speaking. I don't know if that's a service, but I'm carrying this message because you saved my life. When I really came to the grips of Alcoholics Anonymous saved my life, and it wasn't a chore to come to you, my life changed. If it was all about just coming to you and wanting me to stop drinking, my life would be very different because this isn't about drinking. This is about living sober. I know it sounds weird to just change that word, but for me, it really helped. You know, step 12 is an awesome step. You know, we tried to carry this message to other alcoholics. Am I honestly trying? Am I honestly sitting down knee to knee with you carrying this message? Sometimes I am and sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I don't want to. I don't want to go to have coffee with somebody else. I don't want to go to intergroup because you know what? I have something better to do. I don't want, I get the case of I don't want to, but step 12, living in 10 and 11, help me to stay in I'm willing. And I get to carry this message. I get to be part of your lives. I get to help other women in this room. There's nothing like it. The quote you put up there, that's it's on, that comes from the very first page of Working with Others. That we won't, you know, it's a great spot, bright spot in my life. It's a bright spot in my life to see somebody where all of a sudden the penny drops and you're going, whoa, where did those words come from that I was able to help her? And that comes from God, you know? And also these spiritual principles that we're asked to live by, love and tolerance. Am I being of maximum service to you and others? I think that's the main thing that Alcoholics Anonymous is teaching me, to live with you, help you. Who would have thought a selfish woman like me helping someone else would be the bright spot in my life? Because it was always about me, always about me. Picking up the phone and calling another alcoholic and all they do is whine, it's really hard. But you know, I do grow from it. You know, sponsoring or carrying this message in whatever way, I've learned so much more doing that, helping you. I learn more. I learn a lot more. And so step 12 is a culmination of steps 1 through 9. That's what it is. And we live in 10 and 11. So we can do this 12. You know, and I can't forget that I can put on the snooze button of my life and go back to sleep. I can do that. But step 12, because if I'm staying in 10 and 11, the snooze button doesn't go off so much. One thing is the highest award I will ever get in my life is I'm human. That's it. And I will make mistakes. Thank God for step 10. 12 brings me closer to my creator. Unbelievable. And then step 12, I'm with you. I absolutely love Alcoholics Anonymous. And I can't believe this is the first time I got, 28 years, never talked about step 12 in my life, ever. It's the first time that I was asked to do it. And I was really nervous. How would I talk about 12? Well, I got 10 minutes. But step 12 is my life, calm, only because of 10 and 11, only because of 10 and 11, and living in 12. So I just want to end with this one thing, because I think I'm coming. I got 5 minutes left. So,
you know, 12 minutes left, Marie.
How many?
12.
Okay. We're going to, I can talk, John. I can talk. So let me tell you a little bit about myself and how I got here. And so then maybe that will help you as well. As you know, I started drinking at the age of 16, and I drank because there was a party going down, right? There's a party going down. I love to drink. I absolutely, positively love to drink. You know, and by the time I came first in at the age of 27, I'd walked out on my children for 3 years, just walked straight out on them, walked out on my husband, walked out on my life, just walked completely out. And what happened is my husband came and my family was trying to find me, and like I said, I just wanted everybody to shut up. So I went into the treatment center and I got everything back. I got my kids back. I got the husband back. You know, everything came back. But what happened is everything came back and we moved over to Hong Kong. And I didn't really have a herd around me. Alcoholics Anonymous was just a side note, you know. I really wasn't serious about it. I really didn't think I had a problem. I really believed the problem was you. I really thought the problem was, this is stupid and you ask stupid things of me to do. That I went to the meetings in Alcoholics Anonymous. I gave them the old baseball try, 3 strikes, you're out. Went to 3 meetings, nobody talked to me and I walked out. Nobody said hello to me and I walked out. And I thought the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous would keep me sober. Went back up on the shelf. I thought all the speaker tapes that I had would keep me sober. Nope, they went up on the shelf. And I thought, well, I've got this beautiful God. I am just so, got this God, right? Well, that didn't work either. I forgot about the first word of the first step, and that's we. And I went on a Lone Ranger ride. And in that Lone Ranger ride, I picked up a drink and I didn't even think about it. But I'll tell you what, friends, having a head full of AA and a belly full of booze is like having a fence post rammed right up your rear end. And all you are is in pain. All you are is in pain until that post comes out. And I face the fact that I am powerless over alcohol. And by the time I came in here in 1994, I had surrendered because I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. At this point, I had everything, all the materials back. All the materials back. If you should have seen me when I came in 86, I was living in squalor. And I thought, that's why I was an alcoholic. But it wasn't. And as I was flying over the ocean, coming from Hong Kong to Denver, I leaned up against the headpost and I said, God, you get me down on the ground. You get me down on the ground. I promise you, Alcoholics Anonymous, I will be theirs. And from that day forward, I haven't stopped. Now, that doesn't mean that I came skipping in every meeting and loved what my sponsor said every day. But I thought, you know what? She's staying sober. I might as well listen to her. I might as well listen to her. And so as I traveled through the steps and I started carrying this message and I had a spiritual awakening, I hope to God my awakening never stops. I hope I'm always ready to learn because there's always something new about myself that I find out because I do step 10, you know, and I find out what's blocking me from the spirit. Step 12 keeps me within the spirit if I'm doing the vital work of step 10 and 11. You know, and practicing these principles in all my affairs. How do I do that? Sometimes the best I can do is keep my mouth shut. It's hard for a woman like me who's very opinionated. It's the best I can do. And sometimes carrying the message is to be in silence. And sometimes it's just to hold someone's hand. And that's how I carry the message sometimes. Sometimes I carry the message on a phone call at 2 o'clock in the morning when I really don't want to answer the phone. It's taking somebody to the hospital. It's practicing these principles in all our affairs can be as simple as mowing the lawn. You know, Florida, mowing the lawn and being one with many and just being a people around the people. I don't have to be bigger. I don't have to be less than, I just have to be Marie. And God tells me who I am through step 10 and 11. That's who does. God was found through Alcoholics Anonymous for me in a way that is unbelievable. And he changes and he grows and I do not get stuck on anybody else's understanding of God. Because my God grows just like I try to too. He grows in his compassion and his love. So working with others is a bright spot of my life. And if nobody is sponsoring and you've got a few years, wow, you're missing out. See, someone told me, hey, Marie, you got a sponsor. I'm like, oh, I can't do that. And that's because I was coming from me and not from God that I have picked up in step 3 and step 2. I'm so grateful you asked me to talk. I hope I made some semblance of sense on step 12. But I'll tell you what, I love Alcoholics Anonymous. And thank you, Boston. Thank you.